58-year-old Lester Clayton Harvey Jr. and several of his...
Wait, he's got three first names?
That's a lot. Yeah, Lester Clayton Harvey Jr.
Oh, he's got three first names and a title.
That's right.
Okay.
Well, he and a group of his hunting buddies had apparently crossed paths with a bear as they were hunting.
Well, might you have been hunting the bear?
It's possible. Oh,
was the bear hunting you?
It does not say what kind of bear here. I'm assuming probably a little smaller, black bear.
Would it matter to you, Eli, if you encountered a bear, what color or type it was?
Well, generally speaking, the smaller bears aren't quite as dangerous, whereas you get into the grizzly or polar bear territory, and they can be very, very deadly.
Truth there.
So, well, as this group of hunters came upon this bear, the bear crawled up a tree. And Mr. Harvey Jr. and his hunting buddies chased the bear, and one of them discharged their firearm, hitting the bear in the tree.
No, the tree is not a body part.
No.
Hitting the bear where?
It does not say where the bear was struck with the bullet.
Okay, but I'm sure this aggravated the bear.
It not only aggravated the bear, it killed the bear,
who
then proceeded to fall out of the tree on top of Mr. Harvey, killing him.
No!
So his friend shot the bear fell out of the tree, landed on Lester Clayton Harvey Jr., and he was transported to the hospital, but he succumbed to his injuries and passed away.
Hit him in the butt!
Can you imagine the hunting party trying to explain that to the first policeman who arrived on site?
As they're
or the widow.
Rolling the bear off of Mr. Harvey.
Have we got any that are a little lighter and happier or sillier, perhaps?
Yeah, of course. Of course,
death
Norm.
Falling bear?
Well, we have this story of Jerron Campanella.
Jerron Campanella.
That's right. Jerron Campanella, who is a well-known flat earth truther. Are you familiar with these people?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Very familiar.
So Mr. Campanella, he's a YouTuber that often is on the site discussing his flat earth theories.
By the way, Kyrie Irving has publicly espoused being a flat earther in the past.
Well, he should probably check out this YouTube video because Mr. Campanella, to prove that the earth is flat, embarked on a trip to the southernmost continent of Antarctica to see if there were such a thing as the 24-hour sun phenomenon. So if you go to the poles, obviously, there can be sun all day long. We get daylight, nighttime here, but if you go to the poles of the earth, oftentimes the sun never sets.
Why didn't he just go over to Switzerland and take the train up to the top of one of the major Alps sites and realize it's sunny up there? Sunny up there on Everest.
Or he could have just, purchased a globe. That would be something.
Okay, now, he arrives in Antarctica?
He does. The journey, which cost him $37,700, took him from Salinas, California to Antarctica. Upon witnessing the sun circle the sky without setting, Campanella was forced to confess to his followers on YouTube that he had been wrong the entire time and that he acknowledged the Earth's true round shape.
So he not only has to say, my bad, publicly, but he's now 37.7?
Yes, in the hole. Yeah. Nice. It's been almost 40 grand to
big
eat
trip
crow.
For him.
I mean, I guess at least he got to see Antarctica. Most people don't get
to
see Antarctica,
see.
So.
What was
no,
that?
There's
not
much.
To see there.
Not much. It says, flat earthers often claim the Antarctic Treaty of 1959 prevents civilians from visiting the southernmost continent in an attempt to hide the true shape of planet Earth.
I think
there's no better place to roll into 2025 than Texas Live. Join the most anticipated party of the year Tuesday, December 31st. Enjoy live music, elevated drinks, dazzling decor, and a champagne toast at midnight. Get your tickets now at texas-live.com.
Look, I get it. Going back to school might seem unrealistic for your hectic life, but it's achievable when it's with WGU. WGU is an online accredited university that makes higher education accessible for real people with real lives. With tuition starting at around $8,000 per year and courses you can take 24/7, WGU provides the flexibility and personalized support that can help you go back to school successfully. So, what are you waiting for? Apply today at WGU.edu.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using their exclusive budget beach finder. Or find a featured adults-only all-inclusive package to Secrets Resorts and Spas and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
We need a rewrite there?
Yeah, I would think so.
I think so, yeah. I wonder if once all the ice has melted, if those people will go to Antarctica and claim there's something funny going on because the water doesn't drop off the southern part of the globe.
I would think so, yeah. Okay. They would have to admit that the Earth is round then, right?
Yep. I think so. Okay.
All right, moving along here. Unfortunately, another men pass away story, oh, Norm.
Get ready out there.
A couple of New York gentlemen have passed away from a type of pneumonia called histoplasma. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It's a lung infection that is caused by breathing in spores of the harmful histoplasma fungus. Now, you might ask, how does one inhale spores of histoplasma fungus?
Yeah, and where are they generally hanging around so that I don't have to inhale them?
Do you know what guano is?
What? Guano?
Guano.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's the seabirds leave guano all over the rocks.
That's correct.
In the islands.
Most known for being the dung of bats.
Bat dung.
Is referred to as guano. Well, these two gentlemen, who are not named, had been using bat guano to fertilize their cannabis plants.
I'm sorry. This is it's a serious story here.
There's a lot of red flags here.
So of all the fertilizers in the world, they chose bat guano.
That's correct. And apparently bat guano is one of the most nutrient-dense fertilizers you can use. Unfortunately, oftentimes, bats are infected with this fungus, and it comes out in their guano. And if you inhale this fungus, it can lead to emphysema and breathing problems and
can lead to the grave, apparently.
It can lead to death, correct.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
But there is something funny, lads, about he dies trying to fertilize. They die trying to fertilize their weed.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently, they were actually growing these plants illegally in their attic, and so they were in very close proximity to guano, where all these spores were just kind of all concentrated into one area. So this seems like a bad idea. It was poorly planned, I think.
Well, weed in the attic doesn't sound very good either. Does it?
Well, if you've got an illegal grow operation, you got to hide it somewhere.
True. You can buy bat guano at a tractor supply company.
What? And that's what it says here, that they actually purchased it online.
Yeah, $14.
How much guano do you get for $14?
You know, that is the... Oh, a pound and a half.
There you go.
Is that a bargain?
Authorities warned that...
Not to those two guys.
Has it for $17.
It says here, authorities have warned, given the recent legalization of cannabis in many states and using bat poop as fertilizer, it is important to raise public awareness about this potential risk. Would you agree, Norm?
Hearing that, meathead, I'm on board with you, Eli. I'd agree. I'd agree. Good Lord.
All right, should we vote on our meathead of the week? All right, is it men die from guano inhalation, flat earther has to eat crow, or father of five dies when bear falls on his head?
Oh, my. Well, there's a couple of sad stories here. Okay, Michael, what's yours?
I think I'm going to have to go with number one, the bear story.
The bear story. All right. All right.
I think I'm going to do the bat guano just because I can imagine them being up in the attic thinking they got a really cool idea and it didn't work out.
Okay, one vote for the bear and one vote for the guano. Ham.
Yeah, give me the Batman with the munchies.
Oh, that's...
I didn't think that was bad. It kept me interested.
It didn't feel like a Baker Mayfield, nobody believed in me, even though I had these D1 scholarship offers. Aaron Rodgers legitimately had to be special in different ways and had to figure things out because he, as he gets into, was extremely undersized. He was not in a position to where he was getting looked at by any Division I programs whenever he was in high school because they did not believe that physically he would be able to hold up. And that's part of where, on the athletic side, he started to use those grudges and use that negativity in a positive way to fuel him to get where he was trying to go.
Yeah, and I know this is told from his perspective, so there's going to be bias on his part and from the filmmaker's part. But I will say, you cannot deny the work that that dude has put in to his craft and getting back on the field and staying there and playing through the age of 40. And his best years are behind him. But there is absolutely no denying his greatness on the field.
And as we'll hear in the next segment, maybe nobody can win with the Jets. You know, right. Maybe that was doomed from the beginning, not because it had anything to do with him.
But my problem with Aaron Rodgers, as we start this segment, should we tell him if we're vaccinated or not? I think you have to do that if you're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers.
That's the rules that he threw out this week.
Yeah.
It's really weird that he continues to hang on to that. I don't really hear anybody else talking about that, but he's really dug in on that point.
So about 15 minutes into this documentary, Aaron Rodgers is on a plane. At this point, he's already had the Achilles injury. He's doing rehab. But per the Aaron Rodgers playbook, he has to make sure that he lets you, the camera, and everyone else in his team know how smart he is.
So he's doing a crossword. He's got them zoomed in on him very quickly filling out this crossword, quicker than I've ever seen anybody fill out a crossword. So it's somewhere between LeBron always carrying a book where he's on the first page. And we know he's a smart guy, but he dives into some analytical stuff and some of the little math tricks that he can do in his own head.
So 82-digit number. I can give you the square in a short amount of time.
Wow.
There's like a little trick to it.
You're
like 25. What's 25 squared? 625.
Okay.
Take 25, you go up and down to a round number. So you're up 5 and down 5.
Okay.
So 30 times 20 is 600.
Okay.
You take the square of however much you went up and down, 5, and add that to it. So like a harder one would be like 34, right?
Okay.
So 34. So you go down to 30 and up to 38, so the same amount up and down. So I went up 4. So 30 times 38 is 1140. Then you add 16 to that. So it's
okay, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Okay. I know that you have said that you are math illiterate.
Yes, I can do the very basic math, but the stuff he was doing there is
way
over my head.
Did you follow any of that?
No.
I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, it sounded almost like he's trying to trick you and just making up these rules, these little tricks.
Well, because he tells you the answer right off the bat, 25 squared is 625, but then he explains how he got there instead of just multiplying 25 by 25, right? Like, and I think that's really more of a sign of the type of person he is off the field. Not only does he have to be right, he has to prove to you how right he is. And there's a quote that comes a few minutes later. Well, do you want to play the rest of that? You
sure.
Want to get into the Stratomatic thing?
Sure.
Stuff like that. Or like percentages.
Yeah.
I used to play this baseball game growing up. It's like, it's called Stratomatic. It's like this dice game where you basically had cards in front of you that had a player on them and three rows of results. So you roll three dice. The first one is what card you're using, either your card or the pitcher's card. and the next two are what result you're going to go with. So I used to like have a score sheet, make a lineup, and roll the dice and play these games. It's like my favorite sick activity. I'd watch Price is Right at 10 o'clock and play Stratomatic all afternoon.
Okay, so that kind of thing I can relate to. I definitely know what he's talking about. I mean, as a baseball fan as a kid, I was obsessed with stats. I loved that whole thing. And I totally get that from a relatable standpoint to him. So I connected with him a little bit on that front. I wasn't with him on the math thing at the beginning.
I connected just that he likes baseball.
There you go.
I like baseball too.
But then as things kind of go on, wow, this segment has already been chewed up pretty quickly. He says things like surround yourself with positivity, which is a good bit of advice, but to me,
there's no better place to roll into 2025 than Texas Live. Join the most anticipated party of the year Tuesday, December 31st. Enjoy live music, elevated drinks, dazzling decor, and a champagne toast at midnight. Get your tickets now at texas-live.com.
Look, I get it. Going back to school might seem unrealistic for your hectic life, but it's achievable when it's with WGU. WGU is an online accredited university that makes higher education accessible for real people with real lives. With tuition starting at around $8,000 per year and courses you can take 24/7, WGU provides the flexibility and personalized support that can help you go back to school successfully. So, what are you waiting for? Apply today at wgu.edu.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using their exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Jamaica and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
From Aaron Rodgers, that means surround yourself with people who tell you how great you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he knows how to separate those two things.
I think once you reach a certain level of life, you don't even have to. You don't have to. You have the privilege of being able to surround yourself with people that want to be around you no matter what and are willing to tell you whatever you would like to hear, yeah, just so they can continue to be part of that group. And I'm with you. I was a little torn because I thought he had a great speech after the injury where he addressed the team and he told them, you know, this is far from over. And it was a fairly motivating speech.
I wrote that down too. It was his speech, like you said, after he comes back from his surgery. It's right before the Jets play the Chiefs in week 4. But again, I don't know what Aaron Rodgers that was. Because if you watch the rest of the documentary compared to his speech towards the team, every sentence he says in his speech toward the team is F this and F that and you guys are effing great and dogs and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't really talk like that. And he wasn't really like that before.
Well, and he differentiated at the beginning that there were two sides of himself, the extrovert leader of a team,
right,
and a guy who loves silence, I believe is the way he put it.
Yeah.
Appreciate solitude, and that's a really tough contradiction to narrow or to navigate if that really is your personality and you're thrust into a situation where you are this hero, this leader of men, this guy that so many people are depending on, and they want you to think exactly like they do, and they don't want you to let them down. And you know, that is a point where you talk to people from Wisconsin now. The majority of those Packer fans despise him.
Now?
Well, even just at the end of his run,
yeah,
he had absolutely worn out his welcome. And at some point, there is something that is going to make you jaded where you think, man, I really did a lot for these people. And they want as much of you as you can possibly put out there. And they want to know your life and they want to know your opinions on stuff. And then you give them an opinion they don't like. And it's like they flip completely on you. I can on a level understand why you would be kind of bitter about all that and say, just F y'all, I'm not gonna bow down to what y'all want me to be.
That is completely fair. I think it's a really good point, because even me watching this, I was a little conflicted, and then it transitions into part two, and part two is all about his journey during rehab on his ayahuasca resort vacations, which, Saad, I don't know if your honeymoon, if you guys have considered a trip to Costa Rica for ayahuasca retreats.
That's the money one.
I will help pay for that trip, Saad, if that is what y'all agree to do.
So I guess the best way that I can try to filter this through my own brain is, look, I feel everyone should try to find themselves, spiritually. Obviously, he had a fraught relationship with his parents involving Christianity. I understand that. Everybody has their own beliefs. And honestly, I think if you can explore inner self that way, I think you should do it. But one thing that I kept coming back to is him going back to the theme of dropping ego and realizing that material things and all that stuff in the world don't matter. But then he's also going on an ayahuasca retreat on a resort in Costa Rica that costs $12,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's like that is a common thing to where you call out the elites and you call out all of these things that are wrong, yet you're doing all of those exact same things. You just happen to be pointing the finger at other offenders.
He did that like last week with ESPN, right?
Yeah.
Where he was like, all these people go and, like, you know, do whatever with their ESPN platforms. Like,
but he did it on
you
ESPN.
Have an ESPN
you're
platform.
You're doing that. Like, they're paying you to be on McAfee.
And the other thing, too, is I think because of his Christian upbringing and as he got into college and became more independent, I truly believe, and this is just my personal opinion, when he was in college, nobody passed him the joint. I truly believe that because, honestly, look, we've all, in a way, been through a phase like this when you're 20 years old and you're trying to figure out what life is and all that. And you adopt these bumper sticker philosophies and you stand by them wholeheartedly and you have, quote, research and all this stuff about it. Look, when I was 20, I fully believed, you know, chemtrails were poisoning everyone. You know what I mean? And
well, that's true.
I would stand by that.
It's making the frogs gay, bro.
But I truly believe that he didn't hit that phase in time. He was so obsessed with football that he didn't get to that phase the time that most people do. And he's getting to it now. But now that he's discovering it, he's in a position where his platform, he can extend it out and say whatever the F he wants.
And I, to your point, to me, it's at some point you mature to a point to where you understand that your limited intelligence is very limited. You have to be smart enough to know that you know very little.
Yes.
The most intelligent people will tell you how little they actually know about what is happening and all of the unexplained or just, you know, there's definitely something to that. And it's like he would rather not admit that he's wrong on anything.
Exactly.
So it was really interesting. I would say if you have any inkling
from jump, it was ugly.
Oh, ugly. And then Dak Prescott threw one of his please return this for a touchdown throws, and that was the last touchdown of the first half that I think ended 28-0.
It was bad.
It was ugly. Okay. That started the questions about Mike McCarthy because he had this 1 year left in his contract. And people brought up the fact that he hadn't won but one playoff game. And that wasn't over a very good team.
No, with a middle-aged quarterback.
Tampa that had gone, as I recall, 8-9 that year.
That's correct.
That was the one Cowboy win, and still is, for Mike McCarthy. And by the way, it's still going to be his one playoff win after this year. Mike McCarthy can coach. His record speaks for itself. His record at Green Bay, his record here. And he won 12 games 3 years in a row. Eli, have you ever heard of a coach winning 12 games 3 years in a row who doesn't get an extension heading into the last year of his contract?
No, and I think the main reason for that is what we already discussed, and it was the Green Bay game. I think that was eye-opening for Jerry and for everyone else that helps run the franchise that maybe this isn't our guy. And we can't go on like this, getting our doors blown off in postseason games, especially at home, to teams that you're favored against. I mean, it wasn't like Dallas was a touchdown underdog in that game.
No. No. Now, the 2 years before, they were eliminated by a very good San Francisco team. But again, they weren't huge underdogs in those games. Those were supposed to be very competitive games. And I don't want to off-road here to another topic, Dak. But the one thing in common all those playoff losses had was the offense sucked.
Yeah, mediocre performances from the offense.
Always.
Specifically the quarterback.
Yes, the quarterbacking was... Now, quarterbacks get way too much credit when they win and way too much blame when they lose.
Amen.
No question of that. But Dak was not good in any of those three games. And yet Dak got the biggest contract in NFL history, extending his stay here. And McCarthy, who is in the bottom half of pay amongst current NFL coaches, he was basically told to sing for his supper.
Yeah, and so far it's been a failure, but you can't put that on him this year, can you? I mean, everyone in the world's hurt, including your starting quarterback, and whether you like Dak or not, Cooper Rush isn't good enough to do a whole lot other than what we've seen, which is he'll win some games, he'll beat some mediocre teams, but if it were to somehow end up in the postseason, which it won't, there's no way that Cooper Rush is going to be able to get you past the first round. Now, neither is Dak, but...
Well, now, let's deep dive here for just a minute. Before Dak was hurt, this team was not beating the doors off people.
Very true.
This team, with everybody intact, DeMarcus Lawrence, Micah Parsons, Zach Martin, this team was not playing well. They were playing beneath themselves. But let's circle back to McCarthy. It stunned me that a person of his resume and his history should be told, well, let's see what you do this year, buddy. Are the Cowboys so confident that McCarthy has nowhere to go after this season that even if they let him coach out his contract, he won't go anywhere. Is that necessarily true, Eli?
At his age, I think it's a possibility, but I don't know for sure. I mean, I think there would be some teams that would kick the tires on him that have coaches. And we usually see, what, Norm, about 6 to 8 head coaching changes every offseason. Usually you have, you know, the Black Friday where there's, you know, 5 or 6 or 7 that are blown out in one day. There are a lot of coaches on people's lists, but I don't know if a lot of them are going to want to go to these teams that aren't built for success right now. There are some that certainly would, but there are others that would like to probably stay where they're at, given that the teams are having success. And I think Dallas might be one of those teams that you're not going to probably get the coach that you want.
Well,
and that's another topic, but
let me make Eli Jordan a prime contender for a job. Eli Jordan is this man. He's got some game offensive coordinator. Okay? Let's make you Ben Johnson in Detroit.
Sure.
Okay.
Great example.
Let's make you Joe Brady in Buffalo.
Another great example.
My favorite, by the way, if I were... I love Ben Johnson. Either one would be great. Okay. But wouldn't you want to go somewhere where you had... I don't want to offend Dak again. Dak's a solid player.
There's no better place to roll into 2025 than Texas Live. Join the most anticipated party of the year Tuesday, December 31st. Enjoy live music, elevated drinks, dazzling decor, and a champagne toast at midnight. Get your tickets now at texas-live.com.
Look, I get it. Going back to school might seem unrealistic for your hectic life, but it's achievable when it's with WGU. WGU is an online accredited university that makes higher education accessible for real people with real lives. With tuition starting at around $8,000 per year and courses you can take 24/7, WGU provides the flexibility and personalized support that can help you go back to school successfully. So, what are you waiting for? Apply today at WGU.edu.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using their exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Jamaica and do your deal at CheapCaribbean.com.
Trying to throw him under the bus. But if you were Ben Johnson and Joe Brady getting your first head coaching job in the NFL, wouldn't you want to go someplace where you could either pick your own quarterback or had a good feeling for the quarterback that was there?
I don't think there's any question. And I know that they probably look at Dak on film and they might be slightly underwhelmed by it. But I can tell you this, they certainly don't want to step into a situation where they're forced to start Ezekiel Elliott for four or five games.
Exactly.
And they certainly don't want to step into a situation where they're basically just a marionette puppet. I don't think it's a very desirable job, and I don't think that they're going to get any of those guys you just mentioned.
Here's what's funny about what you just said. The Dallas Cowboys are... The Dallas Cowboys around America.
You bet. Netflix series incoming.
But is this an A number one attractive job? That's a great question you posed. Is it? Because if Bill Belichick thought he could simply wait and get the Cowboys job. Oh, at North Carolina, he's going to get to coach with his son. Hey, if he'd have come here, he could have coached with his son.
Maybe.
Someone would have joined him here. Yeah,
maybe.
Well, anywhere. He coached, his son, Stephen, would have followed him anywhere. And I'm not saying Belichick went to North Carolina because, well, I'm not going to the Cowboys. But I think the gold edging around the name of this team may not be as true in the marketplace.
I think you're spot on. I mean, in my opinion, I don't think it is. It's not what it was 25 years ago, 30 years ago. And for a reason we're all pretty sure of, that it's very difficult to work for this front office.
Here's another reason I think they'll ask McCarthy back. I think this year scared potential candidates. And when Stephen Jones says publicly, as he did week and a half, 2 weeks ago, boy, the salary cap's going to be tight again next year. We don't have much money to spend. I think coaches look and think, wait a minute. What am I getting into here? I can't fill the significant number of holes that this team will have by, let's say, spending $40 or $50 million.
And I'll go you one further. They can't fill them all with one draft.
True.
And if they're not going to spend, any of these potential head coaches are looking at the upcoming draft and thinking, well, I mean, I can't fill all of these roster malfunctions with three or four draft picks, because that's essentially what it's going to boil down to. You don't find a lot of fifth and sixth and seventh round guys that are going to step in and help you immediately.
Right. Unless you're Kansas City.
With Patrick Mahomes, which helps.
And that running back and that defensive back, Watson, who were seventh rounders. Anyway, let's go to one more category here. So if this situation might scare the up-and-coming young, hot coordinator names like Ben Johnson and Joe Brady, then the alternative would be to go get another former NFL head coach with a pretty good reputation. Well, I think the first name on that list would be Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
I think He has a lot of respect in the league.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I mean, it, you know, obviously anybody that comes from Belichick's coaching tree has got to have a lot of respect and, you know, played for Coach Belichick forever. And if that was what they were thinking was, well, we'll just let this play out and then we'll go get Bill Belichick, well, naturally that's going to be probably the next name that comes to mind.
So let's finish the segment here. Who would you rather have, Mike McCarthy or Mike Vrabel?
I mean, given the current roster construction, does it matter?
I'd prefer Coach Mack. I'd prefer Coach Big Mack.
Yeah. I mean,
I mean, you look at all the problems here. I mean, we've got a franchise where, according to whispered scuttlebutt, Jerry went out and paid a fourth-round draft choice for Trey Lance without talking to the head coach. What? No. No, who does that?
Well, there's one name that comes to mind.
Dallas?
Jerry.
Yeah,
that's right.
Dallas does stuff like that. I mean, can you imagine some of the other franchises around the league if the general manager said, without picking up the phone and saying, hey, we got a chance to get this guy. What do you think?
Yeah.
Can we talk about a choreographed high school dance? But anyway, on to the next project, the big one on Netflix.
Actually, a couple of notes here, Norm, from the Netflix, and I'll run this one by you and see if you're interested before we get to the main event that we were discussing a moment ago. And this just was posted on Netflix's X account here about 25 minutes ago. There's another sports documentary that you might be interested in. I think I would be interested in this. A Netflix documentary about John Elway. The life and career of John Elway.
Oh, yeah.
I think that could make for some good watching.
People forget, Eli, that he could have easily chosen baseball.
Oh, for sure.
He was a hello.
our lights just went out. Yeah, we're still on the air. Yeah.
Happens here.
Somebody wave your arms.
We didn't move enough?
Yeah, I guess so. Okay. We're just so locked in that the lights went out on
here
us.
Here comes but. Michael Dixon, who will lift the darkness. There we
there
are.
We are.
Hey, back in light.
Back in business. So, yeah, a John Elway documentary is planned for Netflix as well, which I think I'll probably check that out.
Me too. Now, to the one that will debut, Netflix really isn't giving us much of a timeline.
No.
Sometime in 2025, entitled America's Team, The Gambler and His Cowboys.
Oh, boy. And we actually have the audio of the first trailer for this that dropped, I don't know, maybe 2.5-3 hours ago when we were doing a little show prep. So, Creighton, if you'll hit that real quick.
This is our story. And if you ask
anybody where I live, it's bigger than winning football games.
Dallas Cowboys.
They became America's team.
America's team.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
Let's go! Cowboys!
Do they have an idea what they're doing?
What did you prove?
Yes.
Keep them talking.
I'm all the way up.
It's a soap opera. 365 days a year.
Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up.
First, can I do a slight fact check? This was America's team about a decade and a half before Jerry Jones bought it. I'm not saying they're claiming that, but anyway, on with the documentary.
And some of the voices you heard, and you know, obviously you can't see it, but the voices you heard there, you heard George W. Bush was there. Herschel Walker made an appearance in this. They showed
the new ambassador to the Bahamas.
That's right.
Yeah.
They showed some footage of Troy Aikman, you know, sitting in a chair, obviously being prepared to be interviewed, Michael Irvin. So a lot of Cowboys from the heyday of the 90s, and Charlotte Jones was there as well, so she'll be in this.
Our last heyday.
Yes, correct. The last heyday of almost three decades ago, back when both of us had a lot more hair, I would imagine. But yeah, I mean, as with the Cowboys, and this is what, their second or third Netflix joint they've done. They had one, America's Sweethearts, about the cheerleading squad.
Right?
And then so this, you know, coming in 2025. And I reluctantly, I will watch this, even though it's against my better judgment. But I think right there at the end of that trailer, you heard Jerry Jones say it's a soap opera, 365 days a year. Boy, no truer words have ever been spoken about that franchise.
I don't want to diss this documentary because I'll watch it also. Those first few years that they went from stuff scraped off the floor at the restroom at the Greyhound station to three Super Bowls in 4 years. Jerry deserves a lot of credit there. Jimmy deserves a lot of credit there.
Sure.
And so does this incredible assistant coaching staff Jimmy brought in, many of whom went on to be head coaches in the National Football League. I just wonder, Eli, is this going to be a 35-year look at the Cowboys or a 5 to 10-year look at the Cowboys? I don't know. Do you?
No. I mean, and that's a very good question. Are we going to get – and this is 10 episodes, by the way, and I'm assuming probably 10-hour-long episodes, so 10 hours of footage.
Mm-hmm.
How much of that is going to focus on, as you mentioned, the Jerry Jones rise to prominence in the late 80s, early 90s, and even really through to the turn of the century, really? And how much of it is going to focus on what has happened since – Troy Aikman retired.
There's no better place to roll into 2025 than Texas Live. Join the most anticipated party of the year Tuesday, December 31st. Enjoy live music, elevated drinks, dazzling decor, and a champagne toast at midnight. Get your tickets now at texas-live.com.
Look, I get it. Going back to school might seem unrealistic for your hectic life, but it's achievable when it's with WGU. WGU is an online accredited university that makes higher education accessible for real people with real lives. With tuition starting at around $8,000 per year and courses you can take 24/7, WGU provides the flexibility and personalized support that can help you go back to school successfully. So, what are you waiting for? Apply today at wgu.edu.
With the best all-inclusive vacation deals to Mexico and the Caribbean, booking your getaway with Cheap Caribbean Vacations means you have more freedom to do your deal. Whether you want to enjoy snorkeling, endless margaritas and more, or simply soak up the sun and sand in a tropical paradise, Cheap Caribbean Vacations has your deal for that. Plan and book the exact getaway you want at exactly the right price for you by using their exclusive budget beach finder, or find a featured all-inclusive package to Jamaica and do your deal at cheapcaribbean.com.
Well, this, by the way, it says on page 2 of the release by Netflix that the documentary is a partnership with the Jones family.
Okay, so that explains a lot.
So I'm not going to say this is slanted, but I am going to say I'm going to assume we're not going to get certain stories. And there isn't any question about one part of the story, though. The man's a freaking business genius. He's just amazing. I wish we could show you a map of North Dallas stretching all the way out to the Canadian border, because Jerry owns half the land there.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry owns all this land in North Dallas. I mean, hey, where did the star come from? It came from Jerry's land.
Yeah.
That's where it came from. And Jerry Jones prints money. Lately, he hasn't been able to print a true contender.
And that's true, and I think you've probably answered your initial question as to what this will focus on. I think you're going to get probably about 3 or 4 or maybe even 5 episodes of him taking ownership of the team, what it was like to fire a legend in Tom Landry, and then what it was like to take them to those 3 Super Bowls. And I think the last 5 episodes will focus on building the stadium, building his empire, his business acumen, his way he transformed the entire league by allowing these teams to go out and find their own sponsorships. And so I think it's probably going to be about half a puff piece of the success from the 90s, and then probably half Jerry saying, hey, as he's flexing his muscles from Bravo Eugenia and saying, look at what we've built.
Well, he has built something massive. And other owners in this league are, I want to say this safely, over the years, billions of dollars each richer because of what Jerry did. I remember way back when Jerry came in the league and said when they were going over the television contract, they were about to sign it. And Jerry said, that's not enough money. And sure enough, it wasn't. The TV networks rolled back with more money. And then Jerry saying, them saying, wait a minute, no. The beer of the NFL is, I think, Budweiser. And Jerry said, no, I'm going to sell Miller the rights to our stadium and put a billboard out in front here. And Jerry's a genius at making money.
Absolutely. Nike as well. He did the same
genius.
Thing with Nike. Yeah.
Yeah,
genius.
He had Amazon and ESPN and Netflix bidding for all of that, and Netflix won $50 million is what they paid to have this thing air on their
service. Whoa, stop. Netflix paid $50 million to do this documentary?
Mm-hmm, to have the rights, yep. And it was also ESPN and Amazon that were trying to get that, too. So he was having multiple people go for him.
If you needed any more evidence about the business wisdom of Jerry Jones. But, you know, his story's an incredible one. And, yes, they burst from the gate and they were one of the, hey, I did the book Greatest Team Ever about that 5 years of Cowboy dominance in the early 90s. It was massive, that dominance. The football side that supposedly is the driver in this situation, Eli, the football side hasn't been keeping pace the last 3 decades now. But, hey, I'm sure that'll be touched on. But Jerry Jones' impact on the league, Jerry Jones' impact immediately, Jerry Jones' worth. Hey, he did gamble on this franchise.
Yeah. And he did very well. The gamble has paid off. Yeah, I think so.
You think the $150 million he paid for the Cowboys is a little larger now?
Well, I mean, Netflix just paid a third of that just to tell the story. So you tell me.
My Lord. Hey, we can grumble all we want about Jerry and, yes, about Jerry, the general manager, and all that stuff. We cannot contradict his ability as a businessman. If only the number one business –